Does truth exist?
Because you have faith, does that make this book true?
Does God exist?
So when someone says there is no truth, if you apply the claim to itself, what should you say? Is that true? They don't think Christianity's true. They're talked out of it. You know why they're talked out of it? Because they've never been talked into it.
Cross-examining skeptical and atheistic views. Welcome to Cross-Examine with Dr. Frank Turek.
Houston, we have a problem. The famous line from the Apollo 13 mission is now a line which can describe what's going on in Houston, Texas. We mentioned this briefly last week. We're going to spend a little bit more time on it today because constitutional rights, human rights, are being violated in the city of Houston as we speak. Let me explain the situation here, and then we'll get to your phone calls later in the program. Anise Parker, who is the mayor of Houston, who self-identifies as a lesbian, and we use the word lesbian, homosexual, gay, straight, all these words to designate what people do. But I don't buy into the idea that because you do a certain thing, you're a certain kind of class of a person in the sense that you're a protected class. I think there are just people, and behaviors are just that. They're behaviors. You always get to choose your behavior, regardless of where you get the desires for the behavior. So I think sometimes when we term somebody gay or straight or lesbian or homosexual or heterosexual, we're buying into this idea that that is an identity. No, it's not an identity. What you do sexually is not an identity. It's a behavior. I say that because I don't want to buy into this idea that there are these different classes of people out there, even though the courts are trying to say that there are different classes of people based upon what they do. And that's what Anise Parker, the mayor of Houston, has done. She and her city council have passed what is now known as a bathroom bill. It's technically a ordinance, an equal rights ordinance, a human equal rights ordinance. They call it HERO for short. And it was approved by an 11-6 vote this past May. And what it does is it designates homosexuals and transgender persons as a protected class. Now, I just mentioned, I don't think that's right or that should be the way things are. But that's what this human rights ordinance does. It allows, quote, gender confused, unquote, persons to use public restrooms of the opposite sex. Now, of course, critics say that the measure effectively enables sexual predators. And now I'm reading from a WorldNet Daily piece. It enables sexual predators who dress as women to enter female public bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower facilities. Critics dubbed the Houston law, quote, the Sexual Predator Protection Act, unquote, claiming that by designating transgender or gender-confused persons as a protected class, women and children are threatened by predators seeking to exploit the ordinance's ambiguous language. Now, it gets worse than this, friends. You're wondering, what does this have to do with Christianity and apologetics and all? We're getting there. Just hang on. Back to the article from WorldNet Daily. Political activist Stephen Holtz said the ordinance would establish minority status for transvestites, allowing men who dress as women to enter women's public bathrooms, locker rooms, and shower facilities. He said, I want to protect my wife, daughters, and granddaughters from being exposed to the dangers of male sexual predators masquerading as women in women's public bathrooms and other facilities. This is why it's been called the Sexual Predators Protection Act. Okay, that's the story so far. Well, since May, the people of Houston gathered over 55,000 signatures in order to put this on the ballot for popular vote because they didn't want the ordinance to stand as the city council and the mayor had approved it. So they got 55,000 signatures. Mind you, they only needed 17,000 to get this ordinance on the ballot, to get it up for popular vote. And so they had plenty of signatures. Now, Anna Russell is the city secretary of Houston. She's been serving as the city secretary for over 42 years. And in her official report about the petition, she said this: as of July 27, 2014, the number of qualified City of Houston voters who signed the petition had been verified with a margin of error, unquote. What happened was, after she certified this as being true, the city attorney, a man by the name of David Feldman, instructed her to add a statement that there were not sufficient signatures. So he just jumps in and says, no, there's not sufficient signatures. Now, Anna Russell confirmed that in her 42 years of service as the city secretary of the city of Houston, she has never had a city attorney interfere with her validating and reporting duties. She also affirmed that she had nothing to do with the change. It was entirely the work of this city attorney, David Feldman. Now, this is all from a WorldNet Daily piece that just a couple days ago. You can see it at WorldNet Daily. It's called Houston Story Changes in Fight with Pastors. I haven't even mentioned the pastors yet. Why? Well, what has happened is not only did the city try and say and has said that the signatures are not valid, there's not enough of them, even though, I repeat, they had 55,000 of them and they only needed 17,000. What the city has now done, so there a lawsuit came forth that said, well, this is unfair. We did have enough signatures. And so what the mayor and the city attorney did is they subpoenaed pastors, five major pastors in Houston, to turn over their sermons, speeches, and private communication regarding homosexuality, gender issues, the mayor of the city of Houston, Anise Parker, if they said anything about her, or if they said anything about the ordinance. In other words, the government there, the mayor, is ordering pastors to give her all this information. Now, here's my question. First of all, let's forget about the First Amendment for just a second. What do sermons and private communication from pastors have to do with how many valid signatures there are in a petition to put the bathroom bill on the ballot? Zero. It's not even germane to the case. Now, Eric Metaxas, who I've had on this program many times, as you know, he's written the book Bonhoeffer, a fabulous book. He now does Breakpoint radio spots, formerly done by Chuck Colson. This week, in his Breakpoint commentary, he said, for someone in government, i.e. Anise Parker, the mayor of Houston, to demand that pastors turn over their sermons is almost beyond belief. I confess, I almost thought I was reading something out of my own book on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, where I describe how the Gestapo tried to harass and intimidate Martin Niemöller and other German pastors speaking the truth from their pulpits. That is what's going on here in America now. Now, Mike Adams has put it this way. He doesn't call the militant same-sex marriage homosexual movement the Gestapo. He calls them the Gaystapo, because that's what appears to be going on here. Doug Wilson. Well, I'll get to Doug Wilson after the break, but this bathroom issue is really incidental to the bigger assault on human freedom, on the freedom of speech, the freedom of religion, and the assault on democracy, the freedom to govern ourselves. Remember, the people of Houston had three times the number of signatures they needed to get the bathroom bill on the ballot, but the mayor and the city attorney overruled the city secretary, who had already validated the signatures. This is incredible. Actually, let me go to Wilson now. Doug Wilson has debated Christopher Hitchens, as I have. And on his blog this week, he said, I've been pointing out that the totalitarian impulse of progressives, read liberals here, for some time. But they are not totalitarian because they want to impose morality. They are totalitarian because they want to impose an immoral morality. They are not totalitarian because they want to suppress something. All laws suppress something. The problem is what they want to suppress. They want to suppress decency and glorify kink when they ought to be doing the opposite. There are only two options, public virtue or public vice. There is no third zone. All law is imposed morality, and the only question concerns which morality will be imposed. Either you will impose the virtue on the creeper who wants into the ladies' room, or you will impose your system of vice on pastors who object to creepers being allowed in the ladies' room. You will either punish vice or you will punish virtue. Houston is currently punishing virtue. What can you do about it? We're going to talk about it after the break and get to your phone calls. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let the phones ring. Jeff is the only one in the room right now to take your call, so let him ring. I'm Frank Turek. Back in 2 minutes.
What they're trying to do is constrain the space for religion to the four walls of a church.
We need to be good stewards of this time in history where we have the erosion of religious liberty.
Our religious freedoms are under full frontal assault.
Liberty's always one generation away from extinction.
A Time to Speak, the powerful new one-hour documentary from American Family Association, sounds the alarm of the growing threats to religious liberty in our nation. With midterm elections fast approaching, A Time to Speak serves as an important wake-up call for Christians to pray, speak out, and vote.
There's a window of opportunity where we can fight. If we don't wake up and fight before then, we won't be able to fight.
Watch A Time to Speak free at atimetospeak.com. Get a DVD for $12.95 plus shipping. A pack of five is available for $49.95 for you to share with others. Order yours today at atimetospeak.com.
We, as Americans, we just need to wake up.
President Theodore Roosevelt said, "I can be president of the United States or I can control my daughter, Alice. I cannot do both." Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Parents of strong-willed kids understand that raising them requires a lot of time, attention, and effort. It's not easy to harness their energy and put it to good use. These kids will always put boundaries to the test and challenge the system. So, if you have a strong-willed teen at home, remember these few keys. Get on the same page discipline-wise with your spouse. Communicate your boundaries clearly and make sure consequences are explained well in advance. It may take extra time and energy, but there are ways to make the most of your interactions with a strong-willed teen. Soon, he'll become a strong, principled young adult.
Find more help from Mark Gregston online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
If you're low on the FM dial looking for NPR, go no further. We're actually going to tell you the truth here. That's our intent anyway. You're listening to Cross Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Cross Examined with a D on the end of it. That is our website, crossexamined.org. And I wanted to mention that I will be, along with a bunch of other apologists, in Nashville next week. In fact, Stephen Meyer, I've had on this program several times, author of Signature in the Cell, Darwin's Doubt. Also, Alex McFarlane, you hear him a lot here on the AFR Talk Radio Network. He'll be there as well. My friend Jay Warner Wallace, the cold case homicide detective, had him on this show before. Abdu Murray, former Muslim and is now a Christian, had him on this show before as well. We've got Ed Stetzer and also Troy Miller, the president of the NRB TV Network. We'll all be next week, a week from today, actually, November 1st, 2014, at Tribeca Nazarene University in Nashville, Tennessee. All the details are on our website, crossexamined.org, or you can go to defendingtruthconference.com, defendingtruthconference.com, for all the details. It's going to be an all-day event, 9 to 6 p.m. in Nashville, so you'll get to meet these apologists. As I said, I'll be there. Stephen Meyer, Ed Stetzer, Alex McFarlane, Jay Warner Wallace, Abdu Murray, Troy Miller. And it's going to be an interesting and enlightening day. And you'll be able to interact with each of us if you have questions or you want to get some of the products that we'll bring there to help you defend the faith. So check it out. It is next Saturday, November 1st in Nashville, Tennessee, Tribeca University. Again, defendingtruthconference.com. Or if you forget that, go to crossexamined.org, click on events, and you'll see my calendar there, and it'll link to defendingtruth.com. All right, today, and if you want to join the program today, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We are having some issues with the phone, so if you don't get through right away, just let them ring. We'll get to you. We're talking about this Houston issue, which is ongoing right now. It really came up over the past few weeks. We haven't had a chance to talk about it much on this program before, but to recap, a Houston mayor who happens to identify as a lesbian and her attorney is trying to subpoena pastors all of their private communication and public communication regarding anything having to do with homosexuality or the gender bill that the ordinance that was just passed this past May in Houston, that's now commonly called the bathroom bill, that would allow men who dress as women to go into women's bathrooms, and among other things, it does a number of other things. They obviously were against this, and they helped gather 55,000 signatures when they only needed 17,000 to put this ordinance on the ballot. And what's gone on now is the mayor and her attorney, after, it seems, denying valid signatures, are now going after pastors for what they say about this issue. By the way, friends, if this is not an example of why you ought to vote, I don't know what is. The mayor of Houston, in Houston, Texas, only 16% of the people registered to vote actually voted in the mayoral election. And they obviously put in somebody who does not value the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, does not value the human rights that we have called freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to govern ourselves. That's why even a gentleman at the U.S. Commission on Equal Opportunity, I've got to look up the exact title. There's a commission. He just wrote a letter to her and said, you're crossing a line right now. And yet she persists trying to intimidate pastors on what they're talking about. And as Eric Metaxas said, the author of Bonhoeffer, this reminds me of Germany. So you have to vote and put good people in office. Bad people are going to find a way around good laws. That's why John Adams famously said, I think it was John Adams, he famously said, our Constitution is only for a holy, religious, and moral people. It is inadequate, I think he said, I'm paraphrasing, inadequate to govern any other group of people. See, if you don't have good people in government, and I know, I understand theologically none of us are good, but I mean people that tend to follow the law, then bad people in government will usurp the law and try and get away with it. And that's what's going on right now. Now, this non-discrimination ordinance is actually a misnomer because all laws discriminate. Even this law is discriminating against people. It's discriminating against 99.9% of the people who want to be safe in a public bathroom. It's actually discriminating against behavior. See, what is discrimination? Everybody discriminates. The question is, are you discriminating properly or improperly, morally or immorally? See, discrimination derives from the Latin, where it actually means to separate, to distinguish, to make a distinction. We discriminate against behaviors all the time. That's what laws do. We shouldn't discriminate on, say, skin color. Why? Because skin color is not a behavior. Why would we discriminate against skin color? It has no impact on behavior. Can someone else's skin color hurt you? No. Skin color hurts no one. But we do discriminate and should discriminate based on sexual behavior. We do so all the time because sexual activity can either help or hurt people. Unlike skin color, sexual activity is a behavior. In fact, for marriage, we have age requirements, consent requirements, number requirements, how many people can be in a marriage, commitment requirements. You'll be financially liable if you break your vows. These are all laws that discriminate for or against behavior. Now, we're not discriminated against people. All laws discriminate, but discriminate against behavior, not people. Using a bathroom is a behavior. Everyone can use the bathroom, but only the one that matches your biological gender. If people are confused about their gender on a particular day, or consider themselves transgendered, whatever, or they're just not sure, then use the family restroom between the two of them, the private one, you know, the one you see at airports all the time. But don't risk everyone to accommodate an extremely rare situation. You are inviting sexual assault if you allow people to use the bathroom of the gender that they feel that day. And that's what's going on here. And really, we all know what's going on here. This is just another way to try and normalize homosexual behavior. That's what it is. It's just using the strong arm of government to say that anyone who disagrees with homosexual behavior in any way will be discriminated against, including these pastors. These pastors who are preaching sermons and talking to people about this issue. Everybody has the right to do that in America, whether they're pastors or not. They have the right to talk about it without the government intimidating them and subpoenaing all their communications. I know many pastors have said, you want my sermons? You can see them. They're online. In fact, I'd love to have you come down to the church and you can hear anything I say about it. But to try and subpoena all my private communication? That's chilling. In fact, that's what the gentleman from the U.S. Commission on Equal Rights wrote. Chilling. This is a chilling effect. You know, it's interesting. The left always seems to want to make laws on exceptions rather than rules. Exceptions make bad laws. We've got a very, very tiny minority out there who may have a gender confusion issue. So we've got to change all the bathroom laws for that? Really? Exceptions make bad laws. If you ruled by exception, you'd have to endorse smoking. Why? Because every once in a while, a smoker will outlive a non-smoker. That's an exception. Should we base laws on that? You know, we also should allow drunk driving. Why? Because a lot of times you can drive drunk and not hurt anyone. That's the exception. So should we promote drunk driving? Should we allow drunk driving? No, you don't make laws based on exceptions. You base laws on rules. On the vast majority of what happens. Also notice that the left says we can't choose our sexual behavior, but we can choose our gender. You notice that? And these are the people that claim they are champions of science. I mean, this is just absurd when you think about it. Sexual behavior is always a choice. Your gender is not a choice. You're born with your gender. You're not born with your sexual behavior. Regardless of where your desires come from. The position is absurd. I mean, what if all the pastors claim that they were born with the anti-gay gene? You can't blame us for talking about this, Mayor. We're just born this way. What would the mayor say? Oh, no, I don't care what you're born with. You can't do that. You know, I've noticed one thing. I've mentioned it on this show before. But I think this is the basic difference between what we call conservatives. Conservatives are people that want to conserve what we know is true about reality. And liberals, the major difference here is that conservatives want to change their behavior to fit reality while liberals want to change reality to fit their behavior. Let me say that again. Conservatives want to change their behavior to fit reality while liberals want to change reality to fit their behavior. Liberals want to change their gender. They don't want to change their behavior. They want to change their biological gender. They're trying to change reality to fit their behavior. That's a fool's errand. Oh, you may get away with it for a while, but ultimately it's going to catch up with you. You can't thumb your nose at the design of nature. You want to call it Mother Nature, whatever you want to call it. You can't do it continually. Eventually, it's going to catch up with you. 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. If you want to join the conversation, what do you think about all this? What do you think about this whole anti-discrimination ordinance, which actually discriminates against 99.9% of the people or the behavior of the people? The behavior they want is to have safe bathrooms, not to accommodate what people are going to abuse. And how they're going to abuse it is they're going to say that they are transgendered, even though they're not. It's going to allow sexual perverts to prey on people in the restroom. That's basically why people are upset about this. And they're also upset about it because they had enough signatures to overturn this, and the mayor has just decided by mayoral fiat that, no, can't do it. Well, this is radically becoming an America that I don't recognize anymore. And by the way, you know whose fault that is? I don't blame this mayor. She's just living by her worldview. I blame the church because the church has not been the church for the past 100 years. It's ceded society to people who don't believe in God. Well, when you pull God out of society, society becomes godless. Jesus said, occupy till I come. Jesus said, be salt and light. Notice he didn't say, be sugar and light. He didn't say, try and make everybody like you. Be so sweet that everyone likes you. You can't do that anyway. He said, be salt and light. That may cause some irritation, but you've got to preserve what you know is right and what you know is true. Oh, we can't win this. I'll talk about winning right after the break. You're not called to win it. 888-589-8840 if you'd like to be on the program. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek, back in just 2 minutes.
What they're trying to do is constrain the space for religion to the four walls of a church.
We need to be good stewards of this time in history where we have the erosion of religious liberty.
Our religious freedoms are under full frontal assault.
Liberty's always one generation away from extinction.
A Time to Speak, the powerful new one-hour documentary from American Family Association, sounds the alarm of the growing threats to religious liberty in our nation. With midterm elections fast approaching, A Time to Speak serves as an important wake-up call for Christians to pray, speak out, and vote.
There's a window of opportunity where we can fight. If we don't wake up and fight before then, we won't be able to fight.
Watch A Time to Speak free at atimetospeak.com. Get a DVD for $12.95 plus shipping. A pack of five is available for $49.95 for you to share with others. Order yours today at atimetospeak.com.
We, as Americans, we just need to wake up.
Have you ever wanted to take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee, the same lake that Jesus walked on? Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, and we're going to be going back for our annual tour of the Holy Land, Israel, in March. We're so excited about this trip. We'll be seeing Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Jericho, the Dead Sea. We'll be having a baptismal service at the Jordan River, Nazareth, and on the list goes. We're going to be seeing the land of Jesus and the Bible. If you'd like to join us on this wonderful trip in March, just give us a call. We'll send you a free brochure with all the details. 800 Families, extension 5 is our phone number. 1-800-FAMILIES, extension 5 for your free brochure. Or go online at twholyland.com. That's twholyland.com.
Cross-Examined with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network, 888-589-8840. We're talking about this Houston, Texas situation where freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and freedom to govern ourselves, democracy, is being usurped by a mayor and an attorney. It's being trampled on. And you can Google this. Just type Houston pastors, mayor. You'll find it all. There's some good articles on WorldNet Daily about this. Now, notice one thing about this entire, and we're going to get to your phone calls in just a minute. The lines are filled up right now. But notice one thing about this. The only worldview that will protect the rights of everyone is the Judeo-Christian worldview, which will protect even the mayor's right to advocate her position. The mayor, who identifies as a lesbian, has a total right, a right to put forth this ordinance, to defend it, to try and get others to support it. She has the right to do that, and the Christian worldview will give her that right. The Muslim worldview will not. The Hindu worldview will not. There's a caste system in the Hindu worldview. The atheistic worldview will not. Well, it might give her the right, but it'll take away the rights of others to advocate positions opposed to hers. Why? Because the atheist worldview basically says who's ever in power gets to make the rules. Ultimately, that's what it boils down to. Every time atheists, well, let me qualify that. Maybe not every time, but many times atheists are in power, as we saw with Stalin and Pol Pot and others, rights go away. Because if there is no God, everything is permissible, including squelching, killing, stopping other people who disagree with you. That's what Stalin did. That's what Pol Pot did. The only worldview that's going to protect the rights of everyone is the Judeo-Christian worldview. But it's interesting that the mayor is not protecting the rights of the citizens of Houston to advocate the position that they want to advocate. And that is, we want to vote on this. So if anybody's discriminated against anybody, it's the mayor and her attorneys who are discriminating against the people of Houston, who not only have the right to say what they want to say and to advocate that publicly, but they have the religious right as well to express that from the pulpit if they want to. I want to know what you guys think about all this. So we're going to go to the phone calls right now. Let me start in Arkansas with Philip. Philip, you're on with Frank Turek. Go right ahead, sir.
Yes, I'm listening to your program, and I do agree that what is being done in Houston is not right. It's, you know, the political process is not being done fairly. But I am I'm a 65-year-old man. I've been a devout Christian for more than 50 years, and I have a transgendered son who began to show, you know, symptoms of this when he was two years old. And my question is, as we pass judgment on people, do we really know them? Do you know a transgendered person? Do you know what it's like to not be able to go to either bathroom? I'm not saying we should endorse this or make laws to, to enable wrongdoing. But at the same time, I don't think that we're being compassionate towards people if we don't know them. You can't pass judgment on people that you don't know. And my son has had he's 30 years old, and he has had a very difficult life. Mm-hmm. And it's not a decision to a behavior. I want to do this because I think that would be more fun. It is a struggle in life that he has dealt with.
Absolutely.
Just recently, he told me that he would rather he's been a devout Christian most of his life. But he told me recently, he said, I'm an atheist now, and I would rather go to hell than to associate with people that condemn me without knowing me. And I just wonder if that's the right way to be doing this.
Oh, no, I don't think it is, Philip. I think you're absolutely right. I think Jesus would be somebody who would reach out. In fact, he did reach out to the people who are on the margins of society. As he said, he came to be a physician, not for the righteous, but for those who are sick. And of course, all of us are sick. So all of us need a savior. As it's been said before, evangelism is just one beggar showing another beggar where the food is. But we're talking more now in the context of the law and what the law should be. And I don't necessarily think that making a law regarding who can use what bathroom is a necessary judgment on people who have a particular orientation or who have a particular condition. It's a judgment based on what's best for the public in general. And of course, all people have struggles. There's no question about that. But a solution might be, well, you have a third opportunity or a third option then. You know, as I mentioned before, maybe you use the family restroom, which is a single restroom, rather than saying that people who are confused or have an issue can go into any bathroom that they choose. I mean, you can see why people are upset about this in Houston, correct?
I can understand the fear of you know, of people doing, you know, using the law for, you know, for evil intent.
Right, exactly.
But the, you know, and my son has, you know, he's like everybody else. He does have to go to the bathroom.
Sure.
He is in a, you know, it is an impossible situation for him because he's, you know, he very much has the appearance of a man. He's, you know, he's been through surgeries and things. But the, you know, he's got to go to one of them. And of course there aren't free bathrooms for, you know, in the general public. So, you know, I wonder if there was any necessity for a law at all. That's what I really think, is that, you know, it was working just fine for most people because my son, you know, he goes in the men's room, and he's a very, you know, it would obviously be a very private thing.
Right.
So, but I guess my issue is that the church is sometimes very quick to pass judgment on people that maybe they don't really understand what that person is dealing with.
And, oh, I think you're absolutely right, Philip. I agree with you 100%.
So
the question
I, you know,
is, Let me ask you, when you say he struggled with this since a very early age, how did that manifest itself? If you don't mind talking about it, if you don't want to talk about it, that's fine.
I don't mind at all.
Yeah, because this will be good because people need to understand this. So tell me, first of all, what do we mean by transgendered? And then how did it manifest itself in your son?
At he was born a young girl by the name of Ashley.
Biologically at birth he was a girl. Am I understanding
that
right?
Yes, he started out as a girl. At age two, about when he really began to start interacting with other people, he always preferred. He played whenever there was a group of kids playing, or when he's playing with his grandparents or anything. He always took on boy roles. He never took on a princess role or anything like that. His grandpa gave him a ball cap, and he wrote the name a little later, and like he wrote the word name Tuffy, and that's what his grandpa called him for a long time, and he loved that. Well, as he progressed through high school, it was just like, and we own a Christian school, and he attended that school all the way through. But it was always, I don't want to wear a dress. I want to wear pants. Well, I would force him to wear a dress. I would say, you're a girl and you're going to wear a dress. When he got to college, actually about the time when he was maybe 14 years old, he got his first computer and got on the internet, which was not good.
Right.
But when he discovered that there were other people around that had this overwhelming feeling that he was in the wrong body, there was nothing about him that felt female, but his body was female. It just, it finally got to the point where he wanted to commit suicide. He couldn't go either way, and the world wouldn't accept him either way. Well, because we're Christians, because we love Jesus, and because we believe Jesus loves everybody, we accepted him. We took him to counseling and, tried to get to the bottom of it. But in spite of all of our efforts, he just could not bring himself to feel that he was anything but a boy. So he went, when he got into college, he transgendered, he changed his name, which was heartbreaking to us. He changed, and that's what they recommend that you do to start a new identity. Well, now he's 30 years old.
Philip, before you go any further, can I ask you this? You just said they recommend you do. Who recommended that?
Counselors. Not Christian counselors, but secular counselors. They
right.
say, but we've taken him to both. We've taken him to Christian counselors. We took him to, to secular, and the counselor that he settled on himself, when he got old enough into college and go and make decisions of himself, he went, he went the secular way, and he eventually, he spent a few years in Bible college down in Texas, and he, he's a productive young man. He's well adjusted, I believe, but it is a heartbreak to us that he has, because like the communication that we're having, on your radio program today, talking about transgender people, and talking, kind of, and I'm not accusing you of compliance, I'm just saying this is the way it comes across, is that all transgender people are perverts, that they're going to be lurking in bathrooms to, to assault.
Yeah, that's not, that's obviously not the case. Philip, this is very helpful to me and the audience. Can you hold on through the break?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Let me hold you through the break, and when we come back from the break, we'll talk some more. Those of you hanging on, I'll try and get to you. Don't go away. I'm Frank Turek. You're listening to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Back in just 2 minutes with Philip. Don't go away.
We are unapologetically Christian.
Tony Perkins of Washington Watch Weekly.
I've been in the political arena now for 20 years, first as a television reporter, then as an elected official, and now as the head of the largest pro-family advocacy organization here in Washington.
Advancing faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Washington Watch Weekly with Tony Perkins, every Saturday evening at 6 Central on AFR.
Life, love, and family.
Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the nearly 50,000-member American Association of Christian Counselors, takes on life's tough issues with clinical insight and biblical wisdom. Expert guests, real and relevant talk. Life, love, and family. Evenings at 6:30 Central on AFR. Listen to past shows and learn more at lifeloveandfamily.net.
Life, love, and family with Dr. Tim Clinton.
Few words offer more peace and comfort than this one. Secure. But security may be something you've never had much of in your life. You may have experienced conditional love and performance-based love, but not much love that's there when you're unlovable. Maybe there have been people, positions, or things that were your security blanket, but when they're gone, and with them, that sense of being safe. If you've been disappointed in relationships, hurt a lot, or if you're tired of losing what you were hanging on to, then you're ready to experience God's love. God's love is complete and secure for those that come to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. If you want to learn how to have a relationship with Jesus and be eternally secure in God's love, then call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. Or chat with us at chataboutjesus.com.
Welcome back to Cross Examine with Frank Turek on the AFR Talk Radio Network. Recall that next Saturday at this time, I will be along with Stephen Meyer, J. Warner Wallace, Alex McFarland, Abdu Murray, several others in Nashville at Tribeca Nazarene University for a one-day apologetics conference, November 1st, 2014, DefendingTruthConference.com, DefendingTruthConference.com. If you're anywhere near Nashville, you're going to want to be there. I hope to see you there. And if you can't remember DefendingTruthConference.com, you go to our website, crossexamined.org. Let me go back to the phone lines. We're talking to Philip from Arkansas, a very enlightening call. Philip has a son who was born biologically as a female but had a transgendered operation, I assume, Philip, at some point later in life and now considers himself a male, and we want to talk a little bit more about that. So, Philip, this before we go back to the personal experience of your son, the situation in Houston right now. If your son was in Houston right now, he would use the men's bathroom, correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so in reality, it would seem to me that this particular law isn't necessary, because if somebody is transgendered, they were, say, born a woman and become a man, then that person would use the man's bathroom. I think what people are concerned about is that people who just want on a given day to say, I think I'm a female now, and use the female restroom even though biologically they're a man, and could therefore take advantage of that situation for some kind of sexual assault. That's the problem. It's not.
It's
not going to take care of someone. It's not to take care of someone like your son. It's to take care of people who just have that kind of situation that I just mentioned. Correct?
Yes.
And so that's why I think this whole ordinance thing is just off base to begin with. But let's go back to the situation with your son. Now, here's a question I like to ask people. I know there's a lot of emotional baggage, if you will, with Christianity. Just a lot of people look at Christianity, they don't like Christians. I understand that. But if you were to ask your son this question, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? How do you think he'd answer?
He is a Christian. He is.
I thought you said he became an atheist. No, miss that?
In a conversation, this is the heartbreaking part of it. He's been raised a Christian. He knows Christ. He's been saved. The problem comes up is when the Christian community attacks transgendered people, not based on what they do, but who they are. He's a normal citizen. He doesn't, you know, he behaves like a normal person. He's trying to live like a normal person. But when the church says, in the name of Christ, says, this is a person who has a behavioral problem. He has chosen to become a man because somehow he feels better that way, or that, you know, he's living in sin because he's a transgendered person, and if he's living in sin, he's condemned to hell. My son is living his hell on earth right now because we live in a small community, and he recently moved. He finished college and he moved back to stay with us for a while, kind of regroup. And he was raised in this community. We've lived in that community our whole lives. We have a Christian school there that we've had for 15 years. And his biggest fear is, if they know who I am, they will run me out of town. Speaking of Christians, if they find out about me, they will run me out of town. And
which is exactly the opposite of what Jesus would tell us to do.
Is absolutely the opposite of what Jesus would do.
Exactly. I think though part of that, Philip, and look, I can't speak for all Christians, obviously.
No.
But part of that, Philip, has to the radical homosexual movement has made it worse for someone like your son.
Yes, because I have.
Christians and just other even non-Christians who are tired of all this gay activism and having all this shoved on us are in a knee-jerk position now. I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying it's the way it is. Are in a knee-jerk position. When any of this comes down, we go, here it comes again. And now Christians and other people who agree on basic moral values are being attacked. Now, this is not saying anything good or bad about your son. It's just saying that the issues related to all this, the political issues, make it more difficult for someone like your son.
But I agree with that. There is, you know, the attempt by the the gay community,
right,
to force their rights. You know, some things are just better left alone. And, you know, like this thing in Houston, the law about the bathrooms, that law is not necessary, because I can assure you that when Chase goes into a bathroom, nobody in that bathroom is going to know anything about him. You know, it's a life condition that that he has to deal with. And believe me, I've watched him for all of his life. It is a very hard life to live, and no one would do this just because they thought it was, you know, a preference. It is a heartbreaking thing to watch, and for him to feel like that if anybody ever finds out who he is, they will, you know, they will persecute him or worse. My point in calling was, I think we agree that the law, the thing going on in Houston is in fact the radical community trying to force something on us that is actually not necessary. It's just, you know, it's private and it should be left that way. I just wish that Christians would be more understanding of any particular group of people before they jumped to the conclusion. My son says, and recently, because we've had some pretty serious conversations about this since he's moved back to, you know, home for a little while. Well, he's not at home, but he's in the same town. He's not trying to be outstanding, or he's not out marching up and down the street. He just wants to be a normal person and to be left alone.
Right, right. Exactly. Yeah, and the radical homosexual movement actually makes it more difficult for him.
It does.
That's the problem.
And that even to some extent in the gay community, when, you know, I'm Christian, I always have been, I know what the Bible says about homosexuality. Mm-hmm. I believe the Bible. I think the Bible means what it says, but I don't think that Jesus deputized me to go out and persecute people. The radical gay community causes a lot of trouble, but as we see the on the news, you see when a state, you know, passes a law that gay marriage is okay. Mm-hmm. Most of the people that you see are not, they're not weirdos. They just look like ordinary people that are just kind of mind their own business and live their own life. I'm not saying that I'm endorsing gay marriage, but I'm not sure that the church is best serving the purposes of Christ by going out and trying to bludgeon these people to death because of their sin. I told my son the other day, he said, the Bible says in 6 places that homosexuality is a sin, so there's no way that these people can get to God. And that may be true, but I told him, I said, well, that may, sure, that's right. Bible also says that, you can only be married, you can only be married once. It's a sin to remarry. I said, so.
Well, actually, as you know, Philip, there are exceptions to the divorce issue, but actually everybody can be saved because, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6, that is what some of you were. And he doesn't just single out homosexuality. He actually singles out the greedy and the covetous, which affects all of us. But he says that's what some of you were. You were washed with the blood of Christ. So everybody is eligible for salvation if they'll yield their will and accept the free gift of what Christ has done. That's why I'm really more concerned about the salvation of your son rather than what he thinks his sexuality is, because everybody can be saved if they accept the free gift. And that's why I would ask him the question, if it were true, would you become a Christian? Because you don't want Christians whom you disagree with their behavior, to get between you and the Savior. Because the biggest problem in Christianity is Christians. It's not Christ. We all sin. We all fall short. We're all hypocrites. We all make errors and sins on occasion. And to look at Christianity and say, or Christians and say, they are what Christ is all about is sometimes wrong, because sometimes we don't exhibit what Christ is all about. And I assume that's been the case with your son on many occasions. But I just urge him not to allow Christians to take him away from Christ the Savior.
That makes the phone call so worthwhile to me, because that's what I believe, and that's the message that I want to be out there, is that, we as Christians, sometimes we do more harm to Christ than the devil does because of the way that we treat people.
That's right. And Philip, I'm sorry, I'm out of time, but I sure do appreciate you calling in. That's Philip, who has a transgendered son. It's been a great honor speaking with you, sir, and I appreciate your forthrightness in calling. And let me pray. I'll pray for you and your son and your entire family, and please continue to love him and give him the message of Christ. That's the key thing, Philip. Sorry I couldn't get to other calls, friends. We'll see you next week. I'm Frank Turek. Check out our website, crossexamined.org. See you next time.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.